Good evening, church family. It's just a joy to be with you guys. You mind if I open us up in prayer real quick? Father, you are good, perfect, and just, and there is no one that we would rather turn to. Father, we pray right now as we open your word that you would just speak. Let the words come alive now. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Right now, almost 2 billion people are celebrating Eid, which marks the end of Ramadan. It's a required month-long fast for Muslims all over the world. And with the end of Ramadan and the start of Eid, this time of celebration for the fasting, many Muslims seep into this post-Ramadan depression. Questions begin to stir in the hearts of many Muslims. Does fasting for Ramadan really please God? What's the point of all this? I'm left so empty and unsatisfied. This was the chance for Muslims to gain favor with their God in hopes of even getting into heaven. And yet so many remain unsatisfied. When I lived in South Asia, I saw this firsthand. Thousands and thousands of people bowed down to a God that didn't exist, cried out to a God that couldn't hear them, and fasted to please a God that doesn't see them. They're pursuing idolatry and have built their lives around a well that only provides poisonous water, and they don't even know that it's killing them. Tonight, we're going to dive into the book of Jeremiah, and we will discover another group of people that are constantly and persistently pursuing idolatry. But shockingly, it's not the pagan groups that we would typically associate for pagan worship and idolatry, but rather it's the idolatry of Israel, God's chosen people. The Lord describes idolatry earlier in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 2, and it was referenced this morning when the Lord says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Israel had forsaken the Lord, began chasing after false gods, and set up their tents among the wicked. Like carbon monoxide, idolatry crept in undetected, and it was killing them. Their sin was separating them more and more from God. Their symptoms became so evident that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, came to declare God's coming judgment upon Israel. But he has also come to declare God's promise to save those who repent. Will you read with me from Jeremiah 17, verses 13 and 14? And it says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." In our passage this evening, we will discover what God promises will happen to those who continue to pursue idolatry and to those who cry out to the Lord for salvation. I want to persuade you tonight to cry out to the Lord, the fountain of living water, because he alone judges and saves. And that will be our main point for the evening. Cry out to the Lord, the fountain of living water, because he alone judges and saves. Verse 13 will call us to cry out to the Lord because he alone judges. And verse 14 will call us to cry out to the Lord because he alone saves. In verse 13, the Lord promises judgment upon those who finally forsake him. If we go back to verse 13, it says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." The Lord alone judges. Jeremiah describes this assurance of judgment by repeating the word "shall" in verse 13 twice. To forsake the Lord is to forsake the promise-keeping God of Israel. You see, the Lord chose Israel to be his people. He had blessed them. He had multiplied them, made covenants with them, rescued them from bondage, provided everything that they needed, and brought them into the promised land. He is Israel's only hope. And yet, Israel had deserted their deliverer. Therefore, apart from repentance, they themselves would be forsaken. Friends, this wasn't just a physical act of rejection, the crafting of idols and turning to them for worship. It actually revealed an inward heart posture. A few verses earlier in 17:9, we read that Jeremiah gives the condition of Israel's heart in saying, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." Idolatry on the outside reveals a desperately sick heart on the inside. Israel's only hope is a change of heart. It's a healed heart and it's a new heart. Our only hope is a changed heart, a healed heart, and a new heart. Because this promise of judgment is certain, all who forsake the Lord shall be put to shame. Notice Jeremiah also says that those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the fountain of living water. Not only will Israel be put to shame, but they'll be written in the earth. What a sobering thought. And this unusual phrase just simply means that their names will not be written in the book of life, not written in heaven. The very earth that will pass away when the Lord returns will carry the names of the forsaken with it. Why? Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. The chosen people of God will not enter the kingdom of God because in their hearts they have discarded the living water that gives life. They have built adorned cisterns that are broken and hold no water. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, this is your reality. You have turned away from this same God. That's basically what the word sin means, turning away from our Maker. We have all forsaken the very God who gives us life and breath, and have instead trusted and treasured in other things rather than Him alone. We have looked to relieve our thirst in earthly things. And I plead with you all, don't fall for the mirage of water in the desert. You were made for God. Your deceitful heart will be restless until it finds its rest and satisfaction in Him. You're drinking from a well of a desolate and broken world. But that well will run dry. And then what are you going to do? What other well are you going to turn to? Will you turn to the mirage or will you turn to the oasis? Cry out to the Lord even tonight, for He alone judges. The one that assures judgment also promises deliverance. The God of the universe looked upon us sinful in every single way and made a way for sinners to enter into His kingdom. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, who from our message this morning offers us water to drink, living water that will satisfy our thirst, not just for this life, but for eternity. Christ Himself, the righteous one, was forsaken as He bore our sins on the cross. He died the death that we deserved, rose from the dead on the third day so that all men can receive this living water. Everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Out of His nailed, scarred hands spring healing. Out of the empty tomb floods salvation. The very one who refused to drink on the cross died in our place to offer us the living waters of the Holy Spirit. He was forsaken so that we would never be. So come to the oasis, the springs of living water. Turn to Him for life. Let Him satisfy your thirst. Cry out to the Lord, for He alone judges. In verse 14, the Lord also promises to save those who cry out for healing and salvation. Look at verse 14 again. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. We see a shift in pronouns here. It's no longer you, Israel, but it's me, it's I, it's Jeremiah speaking. He cries out to the Lord, heal me, save me. This is a man who has tasted the living waters and has set up his tent next to it. When Israel abandoned the Lord, Jeremiah remained faithful because he knows where his hope lies, who his praise is. Even when being persecuted, Jeremiah believed that if he cried out to the Lord for healing, he would be healed. He believed that if he called upon the name of the Lord, he would be saved. Jeremiah is not looking to idols for healing and salvation. He looks only to the Lord, to Yahweh. His confidence was not in himself, it was in the Lord. For you are my praise. He cries out only to him. He calls Israel to have that same posture of worship, to align their hearts with the Father's. Notice the certainty that Jeremiah possesses. Notice the confidence that he has and where he places it. I shall be healed and I shall be saved. Jeremiah trusts in the Lord's shalls and wills. Jeremiah trusts in the promises of God to heal and to save those who cry out to him in faith. If you cry out to the Lord for salvation, he promises to save you fully, finally, and forever. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what a joy it is to recall that time when the Holy Spirit opened the floodgates to your heart of stone and you tasted for the first time the living waters of eternal life. Praise him, believer. Praise the Lord for seeking you out and saving you and rescuing you from certain judgment. We celebrated that this morning. And we'll celebrate it again next week. Dead turn to life. He not only gives us his Holy Spirit, the very living waters to now dwell in our hearts, but there is a day coming when we shall never thirst again. There is a full and final day of healing, of salvation, and of restoration, and it's coming soon. Are you looking forward to the day when we'll be before the throne looking at the fountain of living waters face to face? Are you ready for that day? There will be a day when the world will no longer be appealing because we will be worshiping the Lord of all. There will be a day when we shall be before the throne of God. We will hunger no more, neither shall we thirst any longer. The Lamb will be our shepherd. He will guide us to the springs of living water, and he will wipe every tear from our face. Let us respond like Augustine and say, whatever God promises, none of it is worth anything apart from God himself. What's the whole earth? What's the whole sea? What's the whole sky worth? What are all the stars, the sun, the moon? What are the host of angels worth? It's the creator of all these things that I'm thirsting for. I'm hungry for him, thirsty for him. It's to him I say, with you is the fountain of life. Unlike many religions around the world, we serve a God that does exist. We serve a God that we can cry out to and he hears us. And not only does he hear us, but he wants to hear us. We worship a God that sees us and satisfies our thirst. Do you know how much it cost? Nothing. All we must do is come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Do you desire to have your thirst quenched? Cry out to the Lord, the fountain of living water. Will you pray with me? Oh, precious Lord, we hunger and we thirst for purpose, for meaning and for worship. There is no one we'd rather turn to than you. Though it all fades away, you remain. You are the oasis to our soul. Remove the scales from our hearts and soften our hearts to your preached word. Your name is praised in judgment and in salvation. Save us, Lord, we cry, for we know it's your will to call those who love you to yourself. Lead us and guide us, Holy Spirit, we pray. In your Son's most precious and holy name, amen.